Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
Let us pray together. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we've spent the last several weeks talking about resurrection and the power that resurrection holds for each one of us and for the church, for the world as a whole. We've been walking along this path for the last, 40 plus days now. So if it's been about 40 days since Easter and the season of Lent, we spent 40 days leading up to our celebration of Easter, we find that the number 40 is meaningful in some way. And whenever we read in Scripture that 40 days had passed, it should trigger for us a sense that something really important is about to happen in the story. And indeed, something very important is about to happen in the story. The disciples have been with Jesus. It's been just like old times. Well, sort of, anyway. Jesus has changed. Jesus is no longer the person that he was before his death and resurrection. He's a new man. He continues to eat and drink with his disciples, but he's appearing to other people throughout the area as well. And as we've seen before, they might be in a locked room, and Jesus will just suddenly appear with them. But if you're the disciples, after about 40 days, you can imagine that you're getting used to this new Jesus. You're getting used to this new reality that has come about. You are living in the very presence of one who has been resurrected. And what an amazing opportunity and experience that must have been. And you can imagine that if you're the disciples, that, you're waiting for what is about to come. Because something amazing is surely being prepared And it's signaled by the disciples asking Jesus, is now the time that the kingdom is going to be restored to Israel? You'll recall what we talked about throughout the season of Lent about what the expectations of the people were regarding their Messiah, the promised one, the chosen king who was to come and rescue the people. And so the disciples are certainly waiting for this rescue to come about. Their hopes were dashed when Jesus was arrested and killed upon the cross. And their hopes were rejuvenated and restored on the third day when he rose again from the dead. But now these 40 days have passed and their impatience begins to get the better of them. And so they ask, is now the time when you are going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus says to them, I don't know. You don't know. I don't know. Only the Father knows the day and the time, the hour when what has promised is going to happen. But I can tell you this much. Wait here in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit will come in power, and you will receive a new baptism. Okay. And then suddenly, without warning, something unexpected happens. Jesus begins to float. He begins to ascend. Now, it's a wonder to me that no one reaches out and grabs him to try and keep him there. Or maybe they did, and Luke just forgot to let us in on that little detail. Perhaps they wouldn't have been able to touch him. All we know is that he disappears from their sight. And they're left, he's hidden by a cloud. And they're left standing there looking into the sky, probably wondering what you and I would be wondering at this point. What in the world just happened? Of course, at this point, you begin to experience this sense that you never know what is going to happen next. So many unbelievable things have already happened in your very sight up to this point that, well, nothing begins to surprise you after a while. So here they are looking into the sky. And two men clothed in white suddenly appear with them. And they say, why are you looking up into the sky? Remain here in Jerusalem. Wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. And you'll take the message of salvation to Jerusalem, to the surrounding areas, to the very ends of the earth. And so now the disciples, they're in this sort of in-between place. We've been in these unfamiliar in-between places before in God's story, haven't we? In fact, I think that we find ourselves currently as a church in one of these in-between places. We're not really quite sure what to do. We're not really quite sure what God has in store for us. And so we spend an awful lot of time looking up at the sky, looking up in the clouds, hoping and praying that Christ will just return. And trust me, that is not something that we should stop hoping for. Right? One of the powerful things about ascension is what we say in the Apostles' Creed. We say, he ascended to heaven, sits at the right hand of God the Father, and from there, he will come. He will return to judge the living and the dead. See, we have this promise that Christ is going to return, and the powerful thing about ascension is that up to that point, the disciples experienced Jesus mostly as he was before, but they had experiences where Jesus was with them, and then times that Jesus wasn't with them. And then he would come back and he would return and be with them again, and then he would leave and go someplace else. But when Christ ascends, well, then he promises something, that he is always going to be with them. One of the powerful things about Ascension Day is that this Christ, who is our Savior, who has taken our place, who has atoned for our sins, the one who has called us friend, now also sits at the right hand of God as judge. Imagine for a moment that a criminal is on trial, and the defense attorney stands up, makes a very compelling case, and then puts on a robe and goes and stands up on the judge's bench and makes the verdict of not guilty. Christ is not only our defense attorney, but also our judge. There's something really powerful about that. There's something really freeing in that, because I know all the bad things that I've done in my life, and you know all the bad things that you've done in your life. And if you're worried at all about the way that God is going to judge you as a result of that, you can worry no more, because the one who has taken your place is the same one who is going to judge you. The one who has authored forgiveness for you is the one who will ultimately judge you in the end and knows that forgiveness. So we have nothing to worry about. It's a powerful statement of faith for us to say that Christ ascended, and from thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. And so we have that power of forgiveness that frees us to live our lives as God always intended us to live them. But we find ourselves in this in-between time, much as the disciples did. Because Christ ascended, was no longer with them physically, and the Holy Spirit had not yet come to baptize them with power and to send them out into the world. They didn't know what it was they were supposed to do yet. And isn't that where we are as a church? Maybe that's where you are as an individual, thinking about your work life, your home life, caring for an elderly parent or a grandparent, making a decision about a career change, some door that, well, you're not really sure whether it's open or closed. So what do we do in the in-between times in our lives? Well, we know what the disciples did. They went to church. They stayed in Jerusalem. In fact, they were in the temple every single day. They never left, because Jesus promised them that the temple was going to be the place where the Spirit was going to come in power. And so day after day after day, they faithfully show up and they pray. They pray for this gift of the Holy Spirit. They pray for this power. They pray for this direction. And they don't stop praying until they get it. They don't stop praying until the Spirit comes. I think we can have some direction from that, my brothers and sisters. We need not neglect seeking this power, this direction from the Holy Spirit. This is a particularly powerful reading from God's Word today on the 17th of May. Because I recognize that next Sunday is Memorial Day, and that here in the East, we have this phenomenon called vacation from the church. Right? From Memorial Day to Labor Day, everyone goes on vacation. We shut everything down. We don't have Sunday school. We don't really have very many activities going on. But are we going to bow to the pressure that society puts on us? Are we going to neglect to seek God's face in the temple when the promise of the Holy Spirit is hanging there over our heads? When we as a church are in this season of seeking God's face, looking for that direction, finding the place that the Holy Spirit would have us go, will we really call time out on that? To say, well, we can wait for the Holy Spirit in September. Imagine with me the day of Pentecost, which for us is Memorial Day weekend. And the Holy Spirit comes in power. A mighty wind blows through the temple. And tongues of fire alight on the no people that are there because it was summer. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. You need vacation time. I need vacation time. You need vacation time. But the reality of the situation is this, that this is a time in our lives where we stand in solidarity with the disciples and we pray. We pray earnestly for the gift and power of the Holy Spirit to show us as Abundant Life Reformed Church who we are called to be in this area, in this community. To stop sitting around and watching what the Holy Spirit is doing and learn what it means to participate in that. We have opportunities for experimentation. You can go pray at Wyckoff Day. You can be on the ground in a park in Patterson for a week in July. You can be here in worship on Sunday morning, prayerfully seeking God's will. But the promise of the Holy Spirit is there for us. And it's my hope and prayer that in this season, we would not neglect to seek the will of the Spirit. That we would not decide to call a time out in this prayerful discernment just because it's a nice day outside. Let's spend a couple of moments in silence, thinking about what that means for us in our lives, and I'll close our time with a prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for this promised gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that powerful message of this Ascension Day for us is that you have not abandoned us, but have promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age. Now we ask, Lord, that you would help us patiently, yet earnestly, wait for the power of your Spirit. And when that direction comes, that you would help us to recognize it and act on it. Until that time, fill us with meaning and purpose in seeking your face. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.